You know that the reason you're listening to this podcast and the reason it exists is to help people like you pick up tips and ideas to help you become either a first-time presenter or speaker, or if you're an experienced presenter and speaker and sales pitcher, to challenge yourself to do even better. Well, I've got a great guest for you on this week's show who's going to share some really top tips and advice to help you move up to that next level of business speaking. Hey everybody, welcome to the Better Presentations, More Sales podcast. My name is Trevor Lee. We've reached episode number 244. Wow, can you believe this? In fact, I've checked, and at the end of February in 2023, we'll reach 5 years, and we'll also be probably just over 250 episodes by then as well, or very close to, because we'll take a little break at Christmas and the new year. So this is, it's just great, isn't it? I sometimes think, 244 episodes, what on earth are we going to continue to talk about? But, you know, I think that this is a journey. And the reason this podcast keeps going is that every time I'd like to think that each episode gives you, as the listener, another tip, another idea. And if you just get one tip or idea from this podcast to help you become a better, more successful, more confident speaker, presenter, winner of sales pitches, whatever it is, then it's got to be worthwhile continue on. Now, I need a little bit of encouragement from you as well. So if you do like the podcast, then please share it. Maybe comment on it on LinkedIn. Tell me some of the things you'd like to see on the podcast, maybe. And ideally review it as well, because that's always great if you do that. Now, of course, what I do this for is to also make sure that you understand that I'm here to help you with your presentational sales pitch as well. So if you need any help, the best thing to do is go on my website, trevorleemedia.co.uk, and click on the one of the buttons that says, click here for a 15-minute Zoom meeting with me. No obligation, no fee. And we can just talk about whatever sales or presenting needs you and your team have. Ideally, the two together, because that's what I specialize in. I help people make the most of their sales pitches and presentations by giving them both the sales skills and, importantly, the presentation skills. So that's what we're all about. Right, enough about me. Let's move on and let's meet today's guest from Michigan. Okay, in North America, we've got Kim Sorrell. And Kim is an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur. She's going to share some great tips and advice with you. So let's go over and meet Kim. Okay, well, Kim, welcome to the show. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, please?
I would be happy to. Thank you for having me, by the way. I so appreciate this. It is so great to be with you. I love your show. Everyone in the world should listen to your show, by the way. It's fantastic.
There we go. What a plug. I'm going to take that out as a little snippet and just focus on that from now on.
There you go. But it's true. It's so true. So I am an entrepreneur. I started my first business when I was 18 years old. I run a nonprofit organization. I am a writer, a published author, a speaker, and a grandmother, a mother. I don't know. The list kind of goes on.
Oh, that's great stuff. Now, tell me what you're working on at the moment, though. What are you doing right now? What are your projects at the moment?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to spread the love. I lived a year focused on searching for the true meaning of love, and I found it. And most of the year, I was in Haiti, on the streets of Haiti. I was chased by a motorcycle gang. I got lost on a mile-high mountain with a medical student, and I slept outside with tarantulas and snakes, and all of those stories are in there in my quest to finding the true meaning of love.
Wow. And for those of people watching on the video version of this, they can see over your right shoulder the Love Is book. That's the one, isn't it, Kim?
That is the one. It is.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm speaking, doing workshops, coaching, trying to get a love revolution going.
Wow. Wow. So let me just ask you about how does that relate to kind of, because most of the listeners to this, I imagine, well, they're all individuals, obviously, with their own personal lives, but clearly they're listening to this because they're probably in some sort of business context as well. So is there a business angle to Love Is as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, for sure. I mean, love is everywhere. It's not like you hang it up at the door when you walk into the office, right? And love plays such a huge part. If you are genuine and authentic with people, if you truly care about them and love them, people are going to know that. And people are going to want to do business with you. People are going to want to listen to what you have to say.
And Yeah, it's a really interesting point, that, isn't it? Because I imagine that, you know, we talk about people buying from people, don't we, and all this sort of stuff. But can you spot the difference between someone who is genuinely caring about you in that business conversation and someone who is knowing that they've got to make you feel that they're caring about you, if you see what I mean? They're not really the authentic themselves, but they know they've got to do this, but it's not really them. They don't really believe in it, but they think, oh, I ought to do this. Can you spot the difference?
I feel like I can, absolutely. You know, there's certain questions people answer, certain times they really listen or show concern that you go, man, he is just in it for the sale. And he is just saying all the right words so that I say, yes, I'll buy. And there are people that you can tell truly care, that it's coming from their heart.
And actually, that's interesting, that bit you said about listening to what they say. So, you know, do you think that is a really big difference? Because, you know, I've noticed that, you know, we've got a lot of people on this podcast and you know, talking about the fact that we ask questions, but we never listen to the answer because we're thinking about the next question.
Right. You know, that's one of the things that I found out about love, because I use this 2,000-year-old poem that you hear at a lot of weddings: love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, etc. And I worked on one word a month, and there are 14 of them. So do a little math, and it took me a little bit longer than a year, but I got it done. And the very first one out of the gate is love is patient. And what I figured out is that love that is patient says that this is the most important moment of your life. This moment right here, right now. What's in the past is in the past. What's in the future is yet to come. This is the moment. So to be truly engaged completely means that you are here 100% for the person that you're talking to, and your ears open, you listen in a whole different way. So instead of letting your mind wander and think about that meeting that you have later, or stepping at the grocery store on the way home, or the kid that has to get to soccer practice, to be fully engaged in the moment is showing real love. And it's surprising, you hear things a whole different way when you're not waiting because you've got your rebuttal ready or whatever it is, or making assumptions about what people are saying because of labels that we put on them. But actually listening, it changes everything. It just changes everything. And I'll tell you, it took me a lot of practice. That did not come naturally for me. I thought I was this great multitasker and I could be in conversation and be thinking about my next meeting. And I discovered I can't. But when you truly listen, then you know, then you understand, you gain such a greater understanding.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of people listening to this podcast, Kim, who can associate with that and think that, yeah, they think they're a great listener, but really when they're honest with themselves, they do exactly what you're saying. You know, it's very hard, isn't it, when you're in that conversation, and particularly in a kind of business sales conversation, because somebody, you know, starts talking to you, asking questions, and you start thinking, oh, I think they're going to buy this, and they kind of get very excited, and they start thinking, right, what have I got to tell them about the deal? What have I got to get them to sign or anything? And they're not listening to what's going on. And I often find that, you know, one of the great things that stops sales happening is that we assume we've heard something and actually we haven't. And then we go away and we put our proposal together and all that, and it's the wrong one. And we can't believe we've got it wrong. It's merely because we thought we'd heard something and actually we didn't. And then we didn't clarify or confirm it. So yeah, that's really great. So how long has the Love Is book been available, Kim?
It was released last December, so nearly a year. And it's been doing great because people understand that love is something we all need in every area of our lives. And so it's been really good.
Fantastic. Now, I understand that you've been doing a bit of speaking, or maybe a lot of speaking around, you know, is that linked to the book?
Yes, absolutely. It is linked to the book, and the book is linked to it. So, you know, the book is such a great tool to kind of get your foot in the door. And because I lived this year, you know, I certainly have stories to tell and can help people out with the true meaning of love. But what it has also done for me is I speak a whole different way. I've been speaking for years. I had breast cancer. I lost my husband. My mom committed suicide. I have subjects in my life that I have been able to help people with by speaking. But after doing this year of love, I realized that none of it is about me. When I go to speak, it is 100% for the people that are listening. And what do they really need? And then we go back to the listening to the organizer, listening to some of the people maybe that are going to be attending, you know, getting some feedback on what do they need? What are their real needs? Instead of, again, assuming that we what we're hearing, but really listening and being 100% giving, not expecting anything in return, not receiving, but 100% there for whoever it is that's listening.
So how's that changed? I think you alluded to the fact that maybe there has been a change. So has that been a significant change in the way you would have approached, you know, speaking now compared with, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 years ago or whatever?
Well, it would be somewhat about me. You know, I wanted to kind of put on a little bit of a show, make it entertaining. And it's not so much about entertainment. It's about what you're giving, you know, to always have in mind what is needed, what is wanted by whatever group it is that you're speaking to, and making sure that you leave them with something, that you give a couple great tips, that you do something that you leave them with something that makes their time worthwhile. So it's not just about me and what do I have to offer and I can coach and, you know, come and get whatever from me, but it's about them. And so that definitely has changed. My focus changed the way I speak.
Well, I'm sure there are people listening to this this recording, Kim, and thinking, yeah, that's great. I go with that. But what I don't understand is how do I, if I'm speaking to an audience I may not have met before, say at a small event or something like that. So how do I really understand what they need? Is that down to the event organizer, me asking the event organizer and saying, tell me about this audience. What are they expecting from me? Is that kind of how that works? How do you do that?
Well, that would be the first step. But then I think you do your research. You know, anytime you speak anywhere, don't just go in with whatever keynote your regular keynote is. But I like to make sure that I've talked to a few people who are actually going to be attending. And so to talk to the organizer and ask for a few email addresses, phone numbers, and then reach out to people and say, hey, you're coming to this event. I'd love to know, you know, what are you hoping to walk away with? And it's amazing how people are wanting to tell you what they're hoping to walk away with, because there's so many times that people are forced to go to something, right? Mm. Their business says, you have to go to this conference. You have to go listen to this. You're going to this dinner. You got to listen to this person, do the keynote address, whether you like it or not, you know, before the chicken comes or whatever it is. But if you reach out to some of the people that are going to be there, they're very open to letting you know what it is that they want. They know more than you think. They know what they want to get out of it. And then you can approach it a whole different way.
So when you get that feedback, Kim, how much then do you kind of, because I'm thinking now, you know, you've a lot of speakers, a lot of, you know, people who do regular speaking probably have got a kind of set thing, haven't they? You know, where they go along with their set thing and they kind of roll it out. A bit like, you know, the comedian going on a tour around all the places, you know, every night it's the same show, basically. So how much of your show, if that's the word, or your speaking, do you actually then adapt or change? Is it a significant amount, or is it just making sure that it's kind of round the edges or a particular point that you're bringing out every time you do the speaking, and when you get the feedback from the people who are going to be there?
Well, I think it's really easy to have a basic format for your keynote. You know, like if you are a speaker, that's what you do, is you give this one address wherever you go. So you can keep your basic format, but there are always, or you know, certainly should be areas that you can tweak, that you can make it very specific for the people that are listening. So to not just have something memorized and stand and talk about it, but engage beforehand and engage while you're there, and realize that it's all about them. It's not about just giving your keynote over and over and over again. It's about your audience and what can they take away? What are you giving them? And how are you loving them to show them that you truly care about them and their specific needs?
And when you say engage with your audience, Kim, are you also talking about the kind of, I don't know, the meet and greet bit when you were first arrived, before you actually had doing your keynote? Are you into mingling with the audience at that stage to shake a few hands and meet a few people or whatever?
Yeah, it totally depends on the situation. Sometimes that's available, sometimes it's not. Yes, I love to meet people. I think it's great. I think if there's a personal connection before you get on stage, automatically there's a trust that you're building, and people need to trust you to listen to what you have to say.
Now, of course, we've been through, or we're still in, you know, in parts of the world, aren't we? You know, a situation which has changed the way we interact with people. You know, we went through that stage, didn't we, where everything was virtual. And now, of course, it's becoming to, you know, a lot more in-person events going on. So with your speaking activity over the, well, at the moment or the last few months and the months ahead, is all of it or most of it in person? Or are you actually doing any virtual speaking gigs as well?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably about 50-50 right now.
Okay.
But even with virtual, there are ways to, depending on if you're setting it up, somebody else is setting up, there are ways to engage. There are ways to kind of do meet and greet before things begin.
Great. Okay. Now, I know that a lot of people listen to this podcast because they kind of want to get out there. They want to do their first speaking gig, whether that's a small presentation to their colleagues or a small networking event, but they just can't get over the line and get going. And I, you know, I get some feedback from people who say that that's the situation they're in. So bearing in mind your experience now, what would you say to those listeners about, you know, just getting going and having, I suppose, the confidence just to put your hand up and say, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that first speaking gig.
I would say, who is it that you want to talk to? Who's your audience? And no matter who your audience is, if it's women's groups, if it's businesses, if it's businesses that sell cleaning products, if it's, you know, something so specific, get the list together and send out letters, send out emails, find out who to send the letter to, who to send an email to, make phone calls, and realize that every no is just one step closer to a yes. And eventually you're going to get that yes. So you might have to put up with some no's, but that's okay. Then you've given your pitch. Then your pitch is stronger the next time and the next time and the next time. But you have to be tough skinned. You've got to be willing to take the no's. If you never take a step forward, you're never going to move. Then you might as well speak to the wall, or hopefully you got a lot of kids that want to listen to you, because you're not going to get out there. So you got to take the leap. If you think you are a speaker, if you know you are a speaker, but you're not actually speaking, then you're probably not a speaker. You have to put yourself out there. You've got to make people aware that you're available and go after it. Go after it. Don't expect speaking to come to you. You know, I think there are some people that speaking comes to them. Oprah probably gets lots of offers. You know, there are people that get a lot of offers, but other people like me, I go get speaking. You know, eventually, hopefully I'm the next Oprah and I will be asked, but right now this is where I am. So you got to go after it. Go ask.
Great stuff. And I was listening to somebody else's podcast recently, and they were saying that one of the things you need, if you're going to follow the, you know, the pattern that you've just said, is that you need a kind of niche format, if you like. You know, you need to know what you're going, the speaker, that the people who are going to hire you or bring you in as a speaker, they need to know exactly what you're going to deliver. And do you find that's crucial, that you have that kind of niche that you're going to bring to the table?
Well, I think. It can be. I think it's like you start out with a drop in the water and then you watch it ripple out. So if you can start targeted and very clear and targeted, and then as you grow as a speaker, then it's able to ripple out and go to bigger audiences, but different audiences where you're able to tweak what it is that you deliver. You know, the information that you have, the message you give, you're able to adapt to other audiences. But to start with a bullseye, with a target, that I think is the best way to go.
Sure. And do you find that now you've, you know, with your Love Is Booked, but do you find that having a book is helpful?
Oh, 100%. Having a book gets your foot in the door because it gives you sort of this instant credibility. You want to be the expert in whatever it is that you speak about. You want to be the person, the go-to person. And in order to do that, you've got to build credibility through the jobs that you've had, through things that you've done in your life, whatever that credibility is, whatever makes you stand out from everybody else. And in the love world, you know, I definitely stand out, and it's such a universal thing, but I don't believe that anybody has ever done what I have done and dedicated a year to living love, 14 months actually, to living, sleeping, eating, breathing love, and figuring it out. And so having a book to go with it that has been a bestseller, that has done some things, definitely gives sort of this instant credibility, which is very helpful.
And when you set off on your 14-month adventure, Kim, did you think at the end of it there was going to be a book and you would be doing speaking, or was that, did that just evolve?
Well, it was something that I wanted to do. I was diagnosed with cancer several years ago. My husband was diagnosed 4 months later and passed away 6 weeks after that. And it made me question love and the reality of love and what it really was, and was I doing it right? And so this is something I wanted to do and write about. And if I was the only one that ever read what I wrote, then I'd be the only one that ever read that I wrote. I wasn't necessarily knowing what it would do because I didn't know what I'd discover.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. Now, regular listeners to this podcast will know that both myself and a lot of the guests bang on about the fact that if you're going to be a great speaker, a great presenter, a great pitcher, anything where you're speaking, talking in front of people, you need to put the time in for your preparation and your practice. So is that something you would advocate?
Yes, absolutely. You want to be prepared. You want to make sure that you know that you're confident going in, and you know that people are going to feel great about attending when they go out. And yes, so you got to put the time in. Practice, do whatever it is you need to do so that you don't at the end of it go, oh shoot, I didn't include this, or oh man, you know, I wish I wouldn't have said that, you know, oh, I put my foot in my mouth with that one, or whatever. So a little bit of practice can go a long way.
I know, and I absolutely agree with you. I think in business that we just don't practice enough. You know, I'm quite heavily involved in sport, and you know, even at a very, very low amateur level, we practice an awful lot. In business, you know, we tell, oh, yeah, I can do it. I've been presenting, speaking for years. I don't need to practice, Trevor. I can just get out there and do it, you know? I agree with you. I think it's something that we really need to do. Have you got a couple of things that, you know, for practice that you could pass on to our listeners as a little, you know, way of practicing?
Find a mirror is a great way to go.
Okay.
Even to record yourself is a really good way to go. If you record yourself delivering what it is you're going to deliver, then play it back. See what you look like. See if it hits home for you. See if what you need to tweak, what you need to change, and do it again and again.
Because it's interesting. It's interesting you say that, because sometimes I think that maybe if you do film yourself, is there a danger that you get over, you know, over picky, and you say, oh, do I really do that? Do I really look like that? Do I really sound like that? And you know, for people who are delivering this first time effort or not used to, you know, speaking very often and try and avoid it, is there a danger that they put themselves off even by doing that? I can see why you would do it if you're a, you know, regular speaker and you want to just, you know, tweak it and tone it. It's a bit like these podcasts. I used to hate listening back to them, but I now know that there is a benefit in listening back to them because I can, you know, work out what I'm doing not very well and all that sort of stuff.
I don't think there's any danger in it. I mean, I think that the first time you watch yourself, you might go, oh my gosh, I thought I would look entirely differently. You know, maybe I should comb my hair different. I don't know what you'd think, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more you do it, the more you see what you want to change and what you want to do better. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to start out perfect. Relax and enjoy the ride. And I coached volleyball for varsity volleyball for 17 years. I coached basketball for 25 years. And at first, I did not want to watch the film. I didn't want to watch the film. And I was always on the film because it'd be filmed from the other side of the gym. And so I'm on the film watching myself, but mostly I'm watching my players. But I kind of didn't want to see because it was sort of this, I saw the game. Do I really need to see it again? You know, why do I have to watch? But then I realized quickly, the more I watched the video of my team, the better my team's got, because I saw the weaknesses. I saw the strengths. I saw things that you don't just see watching it one time.
Well, we live in a world, you know, you mentioned the gym there and your teams and all that, where, you know, certainly at that level in sport, for example, you know, there is so much analysis going on now, isn't there? You know, the data analysis, the video analysis, you know, all teams have got their full-time video analysts working with them now. Blimey, it's a very different world. Now, Kim, in a minute or two, I'm going to ask you how people can find out about what you have, what you've got, how they can get your book and all that stuff. And we're going to round up with a couple of tips that listeners can take away. But you've been on this 14-month adventure. So is there another adventure on the board somewhere?
Yes. Life is an adventure. So, yes, there's got to be another adventure. Yeah. I mean, I'm working on a couple more books. I'm working on A Love Is for Kids. A Love Is for Parents. You know, I think there are so many things about love that we're taught that are not love, and done things done in the name of love or said in the name of love that are not love. And so to get clarity on that, I really believe, I know, is life changing. I know it's changed a lot of people's lives already. And so, yeah, I'm on this adventure of spreading the word.
Fantastic. Now, if people want to get hold of your book or make contact with you or know more about you, Kim, how do they do that?
Love is the name of the book. It's sort of a dark blue cover. It's pretty easy to find, you know, pretty simple title, Love Is. And my website, kimsorrell.com, is ridiculous, because there are way too many letters in my last name. There's two R's, two E's, two L's, but I'm literally the only Kim Sorrell spelled my way in the entire world. It's Sorrelle, kimsorrell.com. But you can also get to my website, loveis.info. And I am on all the social platforms. I'm on, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, and pretty easy to find. I love to connect with people. And, love doing what I'm doing, and I want to continue. So please reach out.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put all those links in the show notes. Now, to wrap things up, Kim, for our listeners who are thinking, well, you know, this is great, I'm really inspired now to get out there and do some speaking, you know, whatever level that is, a couple of top tips for you to share with them, what they could use, whether, you know, whether they're new to speaking or indeed an experienced speaker.
I would say a big one is to listen, to know what it is people really want, and to reach out, not just to the organizer, but get a sampling of the people that will be attending. And they'll be more excited to listen to you too, because you reached out to them. And so you build that trust by doing things like that, and you make the organizer feel good about having you. So, and actually listen, listen without thinking about your next meeting, listen without thinking about your next email or your very cluttered inbox or whatever it happens to be, but really listen. And so that you can deliver, so that you can walk away and know that it's not about you. It is about the people you are serving. You are there for their service. And so give them what they need to walk away with.
Great stuff. Kim, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. So the best of luck with your next adventure, and with continuing with Love Is, and all the things that are going around with that, and all your speaking and everything that you're doing. So fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
So some great tips and advice there from Kim. You know, Kim's been on this great adventure. And, you know, I'd like to think that every time we get a guest on the podcast, that you, the listener, benefit from it. You take away one tip. It might be what Kim said about listening to your audience and getting in touch with your audience, members of the audience, before you do your speaking, so you can build something in that's pertinent to them.
you know, and make it about them, not you. You know, I mean, you'll have heard that message from me before, but it's really great when one of the guests comes on there and shares that message as well. Now, if you're listening to this and you think you'd like to be a guest, maybe you've never been on a podcast. Well, why not get in touch? Why not make your debut on a podcast, okay? In 2023, I'm looking to get more people on the podcast who may never have been on a podcast before. So, you know, drop me a line, podcast@trevorleemedia.co.uk, or go onto the website, Trevor Lee Media, and book one of those, you know, 15-minute Zoom calls with me, 10-minute Zoom calls, and we can have a chat about what you would bring to the show, and I can, you know, help you get ready to be a podcast guest yourself. And if you're a podcaster yourself and you're listening to this and you'd like someone like me to come and talk to your guests about presenting skills, pitching skills, whatever, then, you know, use the same route to get in touch as well. So thank you very much. Don't forget to share, comment and leave a review. And if you're new to the show, if you press the subscribe button, then it means every time there's a show release, which is every Monday, you will get that straight into your inbox and ready to listen to. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.